On September the 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country.
Okay, move out.
A date which will live in infamy.
You're listening to the Valor Podcast, a show that highlights the men and women who defend the United States of America and the people who support them.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello and welcome. I'm Nick Lehman, and this show is at an unofficial United Nations meeting this week. I'm here with over 50 nations, and this is where we're at. We're at the... I'll get to that more later, but first, I want to thank our show sponsor, the Garrity Group Public Relations. The Garrity Group is a New Mexico-based public relations firm that helps small businesses to be heard and large organizations to be understood. We're here at the International Balloon Fiesta Launch Field for this episode. It is a tremendous sight. You have over 500 balloons launching at any given morning. The sounds, the cheers, there's all kinds. I can't even describe it. You're just going to have to come and visit it or actually come onto the field one of these days. They fly from all over the world. There's people from South America, North America, Europe, Russia, Australia. One balloon that gets attention at the Fiesta each year is the POW Missing in Action Balloon. It is operated by Freedom Flight, Inc. The purpose of Freedom Flight is to administer and operate hot air balloons and related equipment in order to educate the public about the POW-MIA issue. We are joined by one of the pilots, Gustafson,
if you're from Minnesota.
Wynn Gustafson, or he goes by Gus. Yep. So thanks for joining us, Gus. First off, tell me a little bit about piloting a balloon. How did you get into that?
Well, Nick, I started flying balloons in about 1980, and it was just really kind of an accident in a way. I had a new neighbor move in next door to me in the late 70s, and he got into ballooning, and I started crewing for him. And, you know, one thing leads to another, you know how it goes, and next thing you know, I wanted to fly balloons, and so I got my license and started flying balloons.
That's what I hear a lot, is a lot of the people that come out here or even are involved in and around the country, they got the itch when they started crewing.
It's a hook, line, and sinker. Most pilots that I know today started out as a crew. You know, and if you've been around ballooning, it's something you don't do by yourself. It's kind of a team effort. It's you need good crew to go fly and enjoy the sport.
And you mentioned a good thing right there, a sport. I mean, it takes a lot of skill. I mean, people just assume it goes up, it comes down, but there's a lot of variables into ballooning. Talk about the weather and the conditions and all that.
We get pretty focused in on weather that's really happening right in your area at the time. You know, we want to call it micrometeorology, but we really focus in on that because it's what's happening right in your area that's affecting you, more so in this type of sport or aviation than probably most any other type of aviation flying, because fixed aircraft, you know, they can fly at a much different conditions. You know, we're very, very dependent on the weather. You know, the wind's not being too strong. We can't have a lot of convection, you know, with thunderstorm activity, anything like that. So, you know, we're pretty, you know, and I suppose the fixed wing guys would look at us as pretty wimpy flyers, but we're in our own little sport, I guess, our own little world.
I don't know. I see some of these, living here in Albuquerque, I see some of these landings, and I mean, they're textbook to say the least. I mean, you're landing, you know, just to give a reference, a piece of plywood cut size into a park or a field without it hitting anything that's of importance.
Well, you know, once you've kind of, you know, I guess we're always learning. When you stop learning, you're probably dead. But we're always learning. But the more proficient or let's say skilled you get at flying a balloon, or as far as that goes, any aircraft, you understand what you can and cannot do. Well, we have a lot of control going up and down. We can control that a lot. We have to learn how to play the different wind currents if we want to go left or right. But up and down, we have a lot of control in that. You know, and ballooning, because of the, in the spectrum of flight, we're really way over, I call way over in the left corner, weather-wise. You know, it's pretty hard to set a balloon up when it's much over 10 miles an hour. And so, you know, we're pretty fair weather flyers. So
how did you get involved in crewing this specific balloon? I mean, it's a very powerful message.
Well, I started flying Freedom Flight balloons in 1989. Freedom Flight started initially doing some fundraising to be able to purchase the first balloon. There was five former vets that had the idea to do a hot air balloon to bring awareness to the POW/MIA issue, and this was up in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And so Freedom Flight was formed as a nonprofit organization, and then they started raising funds to get the first balloon. Well, in 1989, there was an event in Canton, Ohio. It's called the Football Hall of Fame Festival. And at that festival, they required that a pilot in command, a PIC, had a minimum of 150 hours of experience flying a hot air balloon to be in the event. Well, the original guys who were starting to pilot the balloon didn't have near that kind of experience. So, and I was I lived in St. Cloud at that time, and they asked me. I was kind of like the senior balloonist in the community. Asked me if I'd be interested in taking the balloon and flying in Canton, Ohio. And
I need a favor. Gus, you got to come. I can't explain the details, but we're going to watch football.
Well, they said, have you ever been to Canton, Ohio? And I said, no. And I'm quite a football fan. And I said, you know, I've never seen the Football Hall of Fame. And it was going to be a long weekend. And I said, sure, I can make that work. You know, let's go do it. So that was my first time I ever flew the first POW/MIA balloon. That was number one. And I'll never forget that experience. I was not really that exposed to the POW/MIA issue at that time, but I remember flying the balloon, and I remember the first flight we had, and I was flying kind of out in the country a little bit, out of Canton, and I looked back and I looked down the road, and I must have had 100 cars following me, you know, and I'm like, you know, kind of like, what's this all about, you know? And, you know, lo and behold, we came upon an area to land. And once I landed, I must have had 150 people out in the field with me, you know, wanting to come out and thanking us for what we were doing, you know, bringing the awareness. So it was, and I'll never forget, on our ride back to St. Cloud from Canton, Jim Terrilla, Dr. Terrilla, he was one of the originators, and he's a balloon pilot too, one of the Freedom Flight pilots, and he said to me, he said, Gus, he said, so how'd the balloon fly? Was it all right? And I said, geez, Jim, I said, I tell you what, I said, it's probably the most difficult balloon I've ever flown in my life. And he goes, oh, well, what do you mean? Is there something wrong with the balloon? You know, I mean, the equipment or something, you know? I said, oh, no, Jim, the balloon flew fine. I mean, it was great, great flying balloon, brand new, you know? I said, I just wasn't quite ready for the emotional effect it had, you know? And I didn't realize, you know, how many people this was going to touch. And, you know, it went on all weekend like that. So that was 1989, so...
And so did you ever, in your growing up, I know you touched a little bit about your life when we were at the launch field a couple of days ago, but did you ever, you know, was military or this type of, you know, honoring veterans kind of part of your life? And
oh, yeah, yeah. My dad was retired military. So my dad was, oh, yeah, yeah. We were, yeah, I knew all about respect and yeah, everything, you know, patriotism. Oh, yeah. My dad He was red, white, and blue through and through. You know, he was, red blood. Yeah, that was just, that went with the white shirt and blue pants, you know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, he was a real patriot. Yeah. So, you know, I grew up with that. You know, when I went to college, it was at the time the, you know, Vietnam War was going on. It wasn't very popular, but, you know, most all my friends were vets coming back from Nam, and, you know, I worked with them and part-time jobs, whatever, you know. I mean, so, you know, I was, you know, I knew a lot about, you know, that. I didn't know so much about the POW MIA issue at the time because, you know, really, I don't think anyone did. I mean, the people who knew about it weren't really talking about it, you know, and our government really wasn't at the time, I don't think, doing a lot. And Dr. Trilla, Jim Trilla, he got on the national board, you know, and he used to go to the Pentagon 4 times a year about the POW-MIA issue. So Big Jim, as we called him, he was, you know, very active in it. And, you know, and he was a psychologist at the VA in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and he primarily dealt with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and so he was doing a lot of work with the vets with that, and, you know, so that's where it started. You know, the local VFW helped him put some money into it to help fundraise, and, you know, it took him a little while to get enough money to buy the first balloon, and the way it went, and so.
And you were mentioning the, you know, the hundreds of cars following you. I mean, that's kind of an everyday occurrence here at the Balloon Fiesta. There, you know, people find their balloon or they're in the neighborhood and they start figuring out where they're going to land.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I have more people than I could ever imagine come up to me, no matter, it seems like, where I'm at, especially if I'm driving, you know, this rig, and thanking us for doing what we're doing, still bringing awareness. You know, and the basic message we've always made with this balloon was that, you know, we fly these balloons to bring awareness to the POW-MIA issue, you know, and if we can, as soon as we can bring all the boys home and girls, we're done flying. The balloons are retired. We're not going to fly them anymore, because it's kind of like we've done what you know, they set out to do, was to bring awareness, and once you've accomplished that, you know, it's time to retire them. You know, everyone that's involved with Freedom Flight, everyone's a volunteer. You know, we're all do other things in life, but we volunteer to help the organization out and you know, keep it going. You know, it's been going now since really 1986. So.
Yeah, and, you know, here at the Balloon Fiesta, just to give our listeners a picture, I mean, there's all kinds of vehicles that chase balloons, and that they're part of the crew. I mean, right now we have a, you know, an RV that's pulling a trailer. We have a truck. I've even seen a small, you know, kind of SUV type vehicle. Your guys' rig has a trailer that has all kinds of, you know, things about the POW-MIA. You know, you have still missing World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Cold War, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Enduring Freedom, Afghanistan, and you know that your truck and your rig is no slouch when it comes to a moving billboard.
It's a billboard. It is definitely. Several times traveling down the highway, and I've literally had truckers, for example, almost, you know, want me to pull off at a truck stop or so, or I pulled into a truck stop to fuel, you know, and they you know, they come all in, you know, and I've had guys come up to me, and, you know, and they're reaching in their big billfold, you know, in the back pocket, and pulling that out and opening it up, and they got pull out their list, because, you know, we, as a fundraiser, you know, we sell pins and we sell T-shirts and, you know, things about the balloon and the POW, and you know, it's just to help keep the, you know, help keep it going. I mean, it costs money to do this, And they'll come out and pull their list out, and man, I've been looking for you for 2 years. I need, you know, I got this buddy. He needs an extra large, and blah blah blah. You know, and it's kind of neat, really. I mean, you know, so there's a just tremendous amount of support for what we're doing out there yet in this country, and you know, it's something that. You know, it's kind of fun to go do demonstrations at schools. You know, and the kids, you know, they're all going, "What's Palmaya? What's Palmaya?" You know, and
a military acronym.
Yeah. They, you know, they don't know what Palmaya is. You know, and you talk about it. You know, and you say it's you know, prisoner of war, missing in action. You know, and you explain this. You know, and they're like, "Oh, you know." And you know, then pretty soon, you know, Palmaya is their favorite balloon, you know. But I have a lot of folks come up here every year. They look for us. You know, I want to get one of your pins, or I want another shirt. Or
the kids with the cards. I know that's a big
kids deal. Want a card, yep. Yeah. Oh, this is my favorite balloon, you know. But, you know, in some ways, you know, it's not that we're flying this to be the favorite balloon, you know. But it's nice to know that people are very interested in what we're doing and supporting what we're doing. That's the big thing. And I, you know, it's everyone who has served, understands, people who maybe haven't served, still, I think, understand that, bring them on home. You know, we want to bring everyone home, you know, people who have even, you know, made the ultimate sacrifice, we want to bring them home. And, you know, our numbers, like the Vietnam, when I first started fighting for Freedom Flight, that was about 2,400. And now we're down to, you know, roughly 1,600 and something. So.
Same with World War II. There's a lot of Tarawa Marines that are being
Koreans, that number has dropped. So, you know, it's a process. Even Operation Enduring Freedom, I mean, that was 6 2 years ago. Now we're like 1. You know, and we try to keep this somewhat up to date, as much as you can. So that's changed every now and then to reflect where we're at. On the back of all our shirts, you know.
It has the list.
Has it. So it's, you know, we wear our shirts or so here and there, and a lot of people ask you, "Oh man, I never knew there was that many people that are still missing." So, you know, it's.
And just to give another visual for the Balloon Fiesta for people who may not have come, I mean, there's a lot of different colored, crazy colors, and, you know, there's all kinds of different shapes and sizes. The POW MIA balloon, it goes to the military acronym of KISS, keep it simple. Some people say stupid, but my kids would probably say, "Daddy, you cussed." But anyway, it's very simple. It's black, and it has white lettering, and it says, you are not forgotten, and it has an eagle crying. I mean, I walk onto the field, and I see it, and it just stops me. Do you feel like that stops other people when they're going through the
lessons? It says a big message. Yeah, it's a big message. You know, we're not on our bullhorns or anything or making a lot of noise about it, but
the burners, they make noise.
The burners make noise, but it is a big message there. People get it. You know, they see it. They respect it, you know. I think the biggest thing is to keep it going, to keep the awareness going. That's, to me, is probably the most important thing right now. You know, the if you want to look at it as a mission, the mission isn't done yet. You know, it's a big mission. It may never get done, you know, fully. As we say, we bring them all home, we're done flying. Well, maybe we won't be done flying, you know, but at least there's a lot of people. And it's, the balloon has meant a special thing, especially for families who, I've taken many people up in the balloon who have had missing members of their family. And, you know, that's pretty special. It's a pretty special thing. And I'll never forget a couple out of Lima, Ohio. This was my first flight in the POW balloon. We were on our way to Canton, and Jack and Wilma Leffner, some of your listeners maybe know who they are, and they lived in Lima, Ohio, and they became a real supporter of Freedom Flight POW. You know, in fact, Jack helped get the first trailer, first enclosed trailer for Freedom Flight. And I remember a Friday morning, we got up. We had stayed with Jack and Wilma, and we got up, and we went to the local park and set the balloon up, and we're going to give them a balloon ride, you know, for all the work they've done. And Jack was one of these guys that, you know, he talked 100 miles an hour, just constantly. And he got into the basket. His wife, she had literally kept a complete record of every missing in action POW in Vietnam. She had 3-ring folders of everyone. The most incredible amount of work, you know, documenting everything. And anyway, I got them in the basket, you know, and we took off. And for the first 15, 20 minutes, total silence, except for the burner. And they were just totally speechless, totally overcome. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's when I probably first realized the impact that, you know, that system had on someone. So.
And your balloon, it provides healing, because I've seen a lot of people that come up to the balloon and they have, you know, Vietnam veteran caps, they have Korean War, they have World War II, you know, yep. The new guys with the, yep. And it's sort of, for the brief time you're on the field, because I know it's just chaos trying to get launched and things like that, but it provides that sort of meeting of Americans and international people.
And I think it's a way for some people, too, to feel connected yet, that there's something going on, you know. Someone is still trying to promote the issue. And, you know, they maybe been looking for, you know, kind of someone they can, you know, communicate with, you know. And you have lots of people come up to you and thank you for doing what you're doing, you know. And I don't look at it like, you know, I look at it as it's my privilege to do it. You know, it's not, you don't have to thank me. thank everyone who has supported us. That's who you should, you know, really thank. It's not, you know, I'm just a volunteer.
And when you take off, you hear those cheers and the, you know, the whistles of the zebras and things like that. What is that? What goes through your head? I mean, I know you say it's not about you, but I mean, you have this big mission that you're flying.
Well, yes, you know, it does make you feel proud that you're able to represent a group and an organization. You know, when you take off and the crowd cheers and everything, you know, you feel like you're doing something good, you know, and that's probably the big thing, you know. And I don't fly by myself. I always have a passenger or two, and so I always enjoy personally, you know, their enjoyment too. If it's their first time, you know, it's the first time excitement, the thrill that they have, you know. And you know, I think that's all. It kind of keeps everyone energized a little bit too. You know, I got really loyal crew. You know, I've had crew down here for years in Albuquerque, same crew. You know, and they come out every year. One guy, he takes a whole week off, vacation, so he can help. You know, and that's, you know, that's his contribution.
He wakes up at 0:30.
Yep. And he's ready to go, you know, and he comes out every day, and, you know, he's a great, great crew. So, you know, that says a lot, too, you know. So, you know, everyone does what they, you know, do in life, just like you're doing, you know, with your podcasts. We're all trying to, you know, live together, work together, you know, we live in a great country. We, you know, freedom is not free. And so, You know, whether it's veterans issues or it's having young people understand really what this is all about today. You know, I'm not so young anymore, and I just feel in some ways we're not going the right direction in this country anymore. It seems like our patriotism is not being promoted like it used to be. A lot of schools today, they don't say pledges of allegiance or any of that. It's like not politically correct or something. And I'm like, that's not right. You know, maybe I'm old fashioned, but you know, I grew up waving the flag, and I grew up respecting people who, you know, serve their country and stuff. And you know, every time I meet a vet, you know, I always, you know, thank him for his service and welcome home. You know, a lot of vets didn't get that.
Yeah, especially the Vietnam vets. I mean, you touched on that and everything, and it's such a powerful thing here at the Fiesta. I mean, you got from people from all over the country, all over the world, but you know, there's parallels I see from, and just from my observations from watching military guys and girls and balloonists, there's that brotherhood.
Yeah.
You guys haven't seen each other for a year. It's like you guys don't miss a beat.
Ballooning is kind of an interesting, you want to call it a sport, we call it a sport. It's an interesting group, really. It's a small group. There's 3,900 and some balloons in the United States. That's it. Probably maybe 5,000 pilots at the most. And yet, ballooning, we all know, is something we don't, you know, you can't do by yourself. So it's like a team effort or a crew effort, or, you know, it's a camaraderie is what happens. And you get to know each other. And, you know, just about, with very few exceptions, we all help each other out, you know, whatever. I've been to events and someone got lost and it's evening or whatever, and we go on out and look for them and find them, you know. I mean, we're all in this together, you know. It's like one big family. And that's, you know, that's probably why I got very attracted to ballooning, because I like that. I like the way people, you know, are, it's not about me, it's all about sharing what you're doing. And that appealed to me at that time. And I've been flying balloons for 36 years now. This is my 30th year coming to Albuquerque.
So you're one of the seasoned people.
I'm just one of the little more matured ones, I guess.
When you're flying, I mean, it has to be very, like you touched on the patriotism and needing to, you know, make a revival, if you will, back into the United States. But I mean, you're flying across the country. I mean, you know, you think of the songs, you know, not to be cliche, but going through your head, you're like, oh, that, God Bless America and things like that. But oh, yeah. I mean, you see a whole different level of America when you're flying.
You do. One of the real privileged experiences I had, I mean, it was an unfortunate experience we had, 9/11. And as soon as 9/11 happened, you know, they shut down all the aviation in the whole country. Just boom, done, quiet, shut down. And, you know, we couldn't fly a balloon, you couldn't fly anything. Everything was grounded because, you know, they had to figure out what's going on. And back in Minnesota, when they were going to let, you know, kind of all the events start happening again, the Minnesota Twins, who have been very supportive of Freedom Flight, and specifically one of their players, Gary Gaetti, was their baseman for him, and he was responsible to get the POW MIA flag flying in the Metrodome, get it hung up, right? Well, then we started setting the balloon up usually around the 4th of July or so, inside the Metrodome before a Twins game. So we'd bring the balloon down and had a whole big crew, and we'd go out and set it up. Well, we went and set the balloon up right when they started playing baseball again. And they had a real patriotic ceremony for not only the patriotism of the country, but also honoring all the veterans and everything. And we set the balloon up, and I had a friend of mine who had a flag balloon bring it up, and you know, so that was probably the most touching experience I ever had inside a enclosure, because you had all these people who were,
you had America going on.
Yeah, let's get our flag out again, and let's all come together here, and we'll be stronger. You know, we'll get through this, and we'll be stronger because of it. And that's that was I'll never forget that moment. And and the balloon was a real big impact. People saw the balloon, and it just you had to be there to experience it. I guess it was pretty something.
What can people do to support the Freedom Flight mission? And I know that you sell merchandise online, and is there way people can donate and say, hey, I want to help?
Yeah, freedomflight.org. You can go online. I know you've been online. You've looked at our site. It's freedomflight.org. People can contribute to it. We are a 501c3. It is a tax deductible donation if you do that. If you buy merchandise, it's still deductible. Sometimes service organizations are very restricted today with, they may have, lack of a better term, I call it gambling money. Whether it's pull tab or bingo or something like that. And most states make it very, very restrictive of what you can use those kind of funds for. They usually have to be for some type of humanitarian or another nonprofit type organization. Even it can be, like youth baseball, or they sponsor different things. So, but they can, use those funds and donate it to Freedom Flight too, and we will honor them for that, and and just the way they can contribute. We've had tremendous amount of support from a lot of groups. The Illinois Legion and groups, VFWs. That's what keeps the balloon going. That's really it is. I mean, you hate to say it, it costs money to do, but, just like anything,
You got to keep the burners on.
You got to keep the burners on, yeah. You got to keep gas in the tank, and the balloons wear out,
How long can a balloon last?
Well, it depends a lot on, how you fly it and what kind of temps and all that kind of stuff. But typically these balloons last 500-600 hours before the weather and everything gets to them.
Life.
Yep. And so that's quite a few years, though. That's a lot of flying. But they do wear out, just like anything.
What's an average flight time? I know it varies on conditions and things, but what's a Gus type length of flight that you like?
Probably an hour.
An hour?
About an hour, yeah. In an hour's time, we'll experience about everything we're going to experience. Yeah, getting down before the winds pick up, or we're flying and we're kind of letting the winds die down a little more to land, So, about an hour, and how far we go, that varies in how strong the winds here are. And so, but typically an hour is kind of your average flight.
What is something that, just kind of to tie this up, what is one thing you want people to take away and seeing the balloon? I know you covered on a whole bunch of things of patriotism and the mission of bringing our men and women home, but what is one thing that you wish to empower people with?
Well, I think maybe the main thing would be that there is a group that's out there trying to represent the POW MIA issue. We haven't forgot the people. You know, we're you know, you are not forgotten. I mean, that's, you know, that's why we're flying the balloon. You know, I have my own balloon too. I have my own personal balloon. I fly that, you know, it's I enjoy flying balloons, but in a way this balloon flies different, because, you know, you feel like you're doing something, you know, making people take a look at you. You know, it's a big billboard. I always ask people, I said, well, when's the last time you took a picture of a billboard on the interstate? Most people can't think of the last time they took a picture of a billboard. And I said, well, when's the last time you took a picture of a balloon flying by the interstate?
Yeah, exactly. The Balloon Fiesta dubs itself as one of the most photographed events in the world.
In the world. It is, bar none. You know, we have people taking picture. We have people want to take picture of the rigs here and stuff. You know, they're remembering too, you know. You know, like you said, it's awareness. It's simply awareness. Keeping the issue out there so people don't forget about it.
Well, Gus, I want to thank you for, one, flying the balloon, keeping the mission going, and bringing awareness. I mean, it makes me proud to see it on the field here at Fiesta and at other events. And I know your crew, it takes a village to pilot a balloon and get it crewed and things like that. So, you know, thank you for what Freedom Flight is doing and spreading the message and just basically saying you're not forgotten to the men and women that we're trying to find new leads and get them back home.
Well, thank you, Nick, for, you know, inviting me to come on to your program and, you know, speak a little bit about what I do and what we do. And, you know, thank you for, you know, what you do and bringing awareness to different issues, veteran issues and what have you. So.
Well, thank you, Gus, and thanks for listening to the Valor Podcast. Make sure you like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or any podcast management app. Visit our webpage at thevalorpodcast.com. That's thevalorpodcast.com. Finally, find your mission. There are many veteran organizations, nonprofits, and veterans needing your help. I promise you'll make some great friends along the way. And go to the Freedom Flights website. They probably need help with the crew or some kind of event that they need help at. So thanks again and have a great week.